If you have your Bibles this morning, would you please find the book of Ecclesiastes again? Ecclesiastes. We're going to be in this book for some weeks. There's 12 chapters. I don't know that we'll continue to do a chapter every week. We're getting one this week. But you may want to make some notes there. We'll not be in this book next week for Easter, but we'll pick back up afterwards. Started a series in this great book 2 weeks ago. And I just believe that this is a book that God has for Plantation Baptist Church for such a time as this. I also believe that this is a book that God has in your life for the day in which we live in. As I read and I study this book, I find that it is so practical and relevant for the moment of our lives. And as you read this book and you understand the mindset that Solomon is conveying here, it's still the same mindset that we find in our world today. And one of the goals that I had in preaching this series was I was looking to attack the culture in which we live in. I was looking because I feel like there is a battle today between the Lord Jesus Christ and our culture. And I don't know about you, but I have found that culturalism will bring you to pessimism. If you have your hopes and your dreams set on our culture, you're setting yourself up for failure. Matter of fact, if you have your hopes and your dreams set on anyone other than the Lord Jesus Christ, you're setting yourself up for failure. And so, so fitting as we approach the election time as well, you know, because every time we get ready to elect a new president, all you hear about is the future and hope and dreams and change and plans, blah, 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 blah. Culturalism. When you and I got saved, there is a reason that you do not go to heaven the moment you get saved. Do you ever think about that? Do you ever think, well, God, why didn't you just take me to heaven when I got saved? Just in my heart come, Lord Jesus, amen, boom, I'm in heaven. Or some of you think, well, I'm going to wait till the end of my life and then I'm going to get saved right at the end. The problem is you're not guaranteed tomorrow. You better get saved today. Why didn't God just take me to heaven right when I got saved? Because God has purpose for you on the earth. Listen to this, pastor. Based on the authority of this book, God has a plan and purpose for every life in this room. He has a plan and a purpose for every life that He created. And by the way, God did create you. So we don't get translated immediately when we get saved. And so the Lord Jesus leaves us in this world. John chapter 17 ought to be a chapter every Christian ought to read. You ought to be very familiar with John 17. In John 17, the Lord Jesus is praying. He's praying to the Father, and he's praying in that immediate context. He's praying for the disciples there, but you're involved in that prayer if you know the Lord. And Jesus said to the Father, I pray not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them while they're in the world. The world needs Christians. The world needs Bible preaching churches. The world thinks that we are their worst enemy, but my friend, we are their greatest friend. And they can't understand this. They don't understand just because we don't go with them in their direction or support the direction that they're headed away from the Lord. They see us as a problem. They see us as a barrier, as a hindrance, as something that has to be removed. But I got news for you. If you're in this room and you've never been born again, your greatest friend on the earth is a true born-again Christian. And basically what we're doing is we're presenting to you, yea, presenting to the world, the truth of God's Word. And the devil has done such a wonderful job, and I will say that again, the devil has done such a wonderful job blinding the eyes of people. And so what he has done is he has taken the very message of hope and salvation, and he's turned that to a message of degradation and a message of prison and in bondagement. And so the world, the devil's got the world thinking, well, I don't want to submit to that. I don't want to be under that. I don't want to be anything like that. Well, I got news for you. There's no greater friend to you than Jesus Christ. Okay, so we're left here, you, ma'am, you, sir, that know the Lord. And we're left in this world not to suffer, not to loathe every day. We're going to talk about that. And we're not here just to be contrary or fighting or offensive, but we are here so that we can be a light to the world, so that we can be salt and we can be light. You have a purpose. When your earthly purpose is over, you'll be dead. Okay? So how do you like having a purpose now? It lengthens your life, all right? However, in the midst of us staying on the earth, waiting for the coming of the Lord, we find that when I got saved, I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. If you understand that statement, could you say amen so I know? Okay, so Pastor, what do you mean by that? You're in the world, but you're not of the world. Or what are you, an alien? Okay, no. What I'm saying was that when I was born a sinner, and I was born with the world in my heart. I was born that direction. But my dad introduced me to Jesus Christ. And when I got introduced to the Lord Jesus came into my life, and he changed my life. He saved me from my sin. The cross has the power to break the chains of sin. I'm no longer in bondage. Do I still sin? Yes. Do I want to sin? No. Does the same chain of sin that used to have me enslaved have power over me? No. Praise God, the Lord Jesus breaks that power of sin. But when Christ came into me, he changes my heart, he changes my mind, he changes my attitude. So yes, physically, I live in this world, but I no longer have the mindset of that world. The songwriter said, now stay with me, that I was lifted from shades of night, and I was put on plains of light. So before I got saved, I lived in darkness. I lived into the darkness of the glory of God. I lived in the darkness of the power of God. I lived in darkness to the love of God. I lived in darkness to the saving grace of God. I lived in darkness to the peace of God. But that day that I met the Lord Jesus, he lifted me. And now, in my understanding, I'm no longer down in the shades of night. Now, in Christ, we can live on plains of light. Aren't you glad you know the truth? So I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. However, I find that as I live my life, these two worlds that I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. I'm in the world, but I'm in Christ. And sometimes my worlds collide. And normally those worlds collide in the arena of culturalism. And so anymore, the church is becoming what we will call taboo. Our way of life is becoming taboo. And pretty soon, they're going to say, if you love this book, you are a hater. So now they're going to take people like us who love the book and love the Lord and want to stand on truth, and we're going to be deemed as haters to the rest of the world. Now, I got news for you. This Bible, our God, and this church hates no one. Hates no one. God hates sin. We hate sin. But we love people. So in the arena of culturalism, our worlds are colliding. So this takes me to my first messages I preached back in January, first two Sundays of January. There's two types of people in the world. You have the unsaved person and you have the saved person. So the unsaved person, they're living in the world's culture. They're living their lives according to fads. They're living their life according to, quote unquote, the newest thing or the newest tradition or what's tweeting or trending, if you know those two words. Okay? So we're tweeting and we're trending and we're going, is it viral? Viral, not virus. You don't want a virus, but you want to go viral. Okay, so we're going viral. And the world is living in that kind of culturalism. And then you have the Christian, and we're living in the person of Christ and under the authority of the Word of God. And if I could use this world's mindset the way that Solomon does, he says this world's mindset is under the sun, S-U-N, under the sun, a life where it's pretty much culturalism and humanistic and selfish. And then our life is over here with the sun, S-O-N. So you have a human perspective under the sun, S-U-N. You have a heavenly perspective under the sun, S-O-N. And those worlds are colliding. And Solomon faced this collision of those worlds. And really and truthfully, the same process that he went through 3,000 years ago is the same process that people are going through today. The good news is the Bible is timeless. It's timeless. This is not an old-fashioned book back when the ladies wore long dresses and the men were chauvinist. That's not in the Bible. The Bible is the timeless, preserved, eternal Word of God. If you believe that, say amen. So Solomon set on this course in his life. And we to find out the purpose of life or the profit of life under the sun, in that world, apart from any involvement in God. And so Solomon, removing God from the perspective, invested his whole life to see if the world's culture, apart from God, with that human perspective under the sun, could it satisfy? Could it satisfy him? The wisest, wealthiest man. So his appetites were huge. I'll read you some of these in just a moment. And this man with huge appetite and tremendous passion and nobody to get in his way, he's the king, invest his heart into searching for this. And he did such a good job that when you come to chapter 2, verse number 9, here is his own declaration about himself. In verse number 9, he says, so I was, what class? Great. And increased more than all that were before me. Come to verse number 17. Therefore, I did what? I hated life. Are you kidding me? How do you go from the depth or from the height of thinking I was great to the depth of where the man says, I hate my life. I hate life. Now, I need you to stay with me to the very end of this message. For a few moments, we are going to delve into the depth of despair and depression and emptiness and futility and vainness and vanity of vexation of spirit. We're going to go there for just a moment. But I promise you at the end of that, we're not going to end on shades of night. We're going to end on plains of light. And so Solomon is this man who's going through this experiment on a bipolar, there's a word, bipolar approach. And he goes from the height of greatness to the hating life, to the extremity of there. And by the way, our world is pretty much bipolar. Our culture. I mean, one moment they're up, next moment they're down. One moment they're rejoicing, next minute they're blown out of their mind. And it's like we live in such an extreme, volatile, intense kind of swing that you can't trust anybody. One day they're your friend, next day they come in and shoot you. That's the world we live in. By the way, that's the fruit of a culture without God. And so don't tell me that this isn't practical for your life. Because we face heavy depression even inside the church. So, and really and truthfully, this is the mindset and a culture that's colliding with God's people today. And we're losing the battle. But there's no reason to lose the battle. We serve the victorious Lord. So Solomon, it goes from this point. Now, he did something. Pastor, how do you go from, I was great, to hate my life? Look at verse number 11. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no, what's that word? Profit or gain under the sun. So here's what Solomon did. Solomon did the same thing our culture is doing today. Solomon went on this experiment to find purpose in life without God. And he went at it guns a-blazing, man. Nobody in his way. And as long as he was clicking, and as long as he was moving, and as long as he was involved and ticking, then he was okay. But there came a moment in Solomon's life where there was a pause, a stop. And all of a sudden, Solomon looked at his life. Now, I think one of the reasons that our world is so busy is because our world can't stand itself. That might be you. Be careful of the person who's always going from something to something to something to something to something and nothing is ever satisfying. Be careful of that mindset that's push, 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 and there's never any settledness around. Because when Solomon settled down and he absolutely looked at his life, he had attributed the value of life in things. If you look at verse number 9, he said, so I was great and I increased. And so Solomon had all of this increase. But when he got a moment to take a breath and things went quiet, Solomon realized there's a price tag value and then there's an internal value. Solomon says, I've got more than anybody could have. But when I stop and I look at my life, it adds no value to me. Now, you want to talk about being depressed? Go out there and get everything that you think will make you happy. Some plugs. Money, whatever. And then get it, drink it, hug it, kiss it, bring it home with you, pet it, shine it, put it on a trophy stand, do whatever you want to do. But really and truthfully, the value that that thing adds internally is so short term that you have to turn your car in before the lease is up. So Solomon said, I had everything in my life, but it added no value to me. I did everything I knew to do. And then when I looked at my life, I'm like, what's the purpose, man? And so he stopped and he looked at his life. Now I want you to see this experiment he did. In verse number 17 of chapter number 1, all the way down to chapter 2, verse number 8, these are the things that Solomon gave himself to know. Verse 17, I gave my heart to know wisdom, to know madness and folly. We're going to talk about those words in a little bit. I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit. For in much wisdom is what, class? Much grief. Solomon said, now I thought that wisdom would help show me the way, or education would. And by the way, that's so relevant for us today. You go to Washington, D.C., and they think that the answer to the problems of our nation is more education. So we've got this Department of Education, and we pump billions into a Department of Education that teaches us nothing. Nothing. So now, When you look at the political arena of our country right now, we're about ready to vote for either socialism or worldliness or wickedness or dishonesty. You look at our candidates, all of our candidates represent our education as a society, because society picks leaders just like it. I know, that one was for free. So, Solomon said, I went after education. The problem with our world's not education. The problem with our world's our sinful heart. We don't need more education. We need the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay? So Solomon said, man, I just hammered education. I got done and I thought, what good is it? Proof pudding. Some of you have got master's degrees, a couple of them. Doctor's degrees, a couple of them. You're billions of dollars in debt, just like our world. And you don't even do anything in the field in which you studied. What good is it to you? That's what Solomon said. Verse number 1 of chapter 2. I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. That's gladness. Therefore, enjoy pleasure. Solomon said, man, I went after pleasure like a maniac. It didn't satisfy. And behold, this is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? He just tried laughter in a good time. He said that was good for a little while, but it didn't satisfy. I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine. We know liquor doesn't satisfy. Yet acquainting my heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men. Solomon said, I want to see what the world has to offer under heaven. And under the sun and all the days of their life. Verse number 4. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth the trees. This guy was creative ingenuity. I mean, this guy was ahead of his times. I got me servants and maidens, and servants were born in my house. I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold and peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments. When you study that, that's a sexual thing to like a harem. He said, in that of all sorts, he was aggressive in that manner. And so these are all the things that Solomon tried. In verse number 9, he says, I was great. Verse number 10, whatever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy. For my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was the portion of all my labor. Now, the wisdom that Solomon went after was not godly wisdom. And he went after a labor, and while he was doing it, there was a joy. And then verse number 11, then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was what class? Vanity and vexation of spirit. And there was no profit under the sun. So Solomon said, now, I tried to fill my life with those things and to find profit. I tried to fill my life and find joy. I tried to fill my life with what the world had to offer. And he said, when I got done, I looked at it all and I said, what good is it? In verse number 12, he makes a turn. And I turned myself to behold wisdom, madness, and folly. Now, if you're taking notes, underline those words. We've already had those words before in verse number 17 of chapter 1. I turned myself to behold wisdom, madness, and folly. For what can the man do that cometh after the king, even that which hath been already done? What's he saying here? He said, I went after wisdom, madness, and folly, and nobody did it better than me. I'm the king. I had all the opportunity to do it. Nobody else could do this like I did this. Verse 13, he says, I saw that wisdom excelleth folly as far as light excelleth darkness. So even in the human perspective, wisdom is better than folly. Verse 14, he said, the wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to them all. Now, let me just give you a little break here where we're headed. We're headed from, I was great, I hate my life. How in the world do you go from I am great to I hate my life? Well, you get everything that you think can satisfy you, and you find out it doesn't satisfy. And you bust your tail. You bleed, you sweat, you dream, you sacrifice, you work like a dog. And then when you get everything that you possibly could have and it doesn't satisfy externally, you turn internally to try to find satisfaction. And so Solomon said, well, let me now turn to behold wisdom and folly and madness. And then as he began to analyze the world that he was in, thinking he was smarter, he realized that there's something in life that's the great equalizer. There is one event that happens to everybody, and it's not taxes. That event would be what? Death. And Solomon now, when to get from here to here, he understands, wait a minute. I'm exhausted. I'm wore out. I've got everything I can imagine. I still hurt. And then all of the sacrifice and all that I've done to elevate myself and exalt myself and all the promotion. On the day they put my body in a box as a wise man, they put a fool's body in a box. And on the same day I die, a fool dies. What good is it? We're all going to die. That's kind of encouraging, isn't it? But let me tell you something. That's what our world thinks. That's why the suicide rate is so high. The world thinks, well, we're just in this, and our young people, just this mundane circle. It's never going to change. I've got my iPhone. I've got my car. I've got my money. I've done my drugs. I've done my alcohol. I've had sex with everybody that I could possibly do, man, woman, whatever. I've reached the epitome of success. I hurt so bad, I don't know what it's going to do. And if we're all going to die, why do I got to live the rest of my life and wait for that morbid event? Let me just end it. Let me get news to say something to you about this. You end your life without God, you go to hell. Suicide is not the answer to your life. Murdering somebody may help. No, I'm just kidding about that. Suicide ain't the answer to your life. But our 13, 14-year-old kids think it's better to kill myself than live. Don't tell me culturalism or education is working in our country. We need homes that are built on the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I just kill myself. Solomon says, what in the world? What's the matter? We're all going to die there. And then he begins to rethink his life. Look, if you would, at verse number 14. 15. How this is his thought process. I said in my heart, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happened even to me. Why was I then more wise? I said in my heart, this is vanity, man. There's no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever. Seeing that which now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten. And how dieth the wise man? Finish the verse. That's the fool. We all die the same way. The difference isn't in our death. The difference is where we go after we die. To God be the glory. So when Solomon, with life under the sun and the grave looming, and that equalizer of death that strips a man of everything he has. Verse 17. Therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me. For all is vanity and vexation of spirit. I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor wherein I have labored and wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun. This is vanities. As Solomon says, wait a minute. I've amassed all of this. And not only am I empty with it all, not only do I not take it with me, I got to leave it to some fool. By the way, who was the fool he left it to? His son. Man, Pastor, I'm working hard for my children. Ooh, thank you, Lord. I almost said something more aggressive than I should. you'll be disappointed. You're telling me, as a wise man or woman, you're sitting there and your whole life is consumed so when you die, your kids could have a better life because of the things you left them? You want your family to have a better life? Leave them a legacy of Jesus Christ. A fool. Solomon said, now I'm going to give it to my son. He destroyed it. Not my kids. I got good kids. If your kid's so good, why will he go to hell? You're welcome. Two for one. Okay, look if you would at verse number, where am I? 20. Therefore, I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun. So basically, Solomon says, man, depression came over me. And everywhere I went, my heart was just heavy. Now, you and I think about the culture in which we live in. In the world in which we live in, there's very little lasting joy. Man, watch television today, and every commercial you hear about a drug to help you with your depression and anxiety, count them. They're everywhere. And if you take this drug, it will help you, but the side effects, it'll kill you. You ever listen to that? Side effects are, you'll get two heads, you'll turn green. Good Lord. All right? Verse 21. For there is a man whose labor is in his wisdom and in knowledge and in equity. Yet to a man that hath not labored therein, shall he leave it for his portion? I got to leave it to somebody who didn't do it? That's vanity, man. For what hath man of all his labor and of vexation of his heart, wherein he hath labored under the sun? For all his days are sorrows, his travail grief, yea, his heart taketh not what class? Rest in the night. In the night. This also is what? Vanity. All right, now, we got to stop here because verses 24 to 26 are different. I'm going to give them to you in a moment. It was great. Hated my life. I had more increase than anybody, but it didn't satisfy. I had more wisdom, but I realized life is short and temporal. And when I look at life apart from God, under the sun, it doesn't make sense. So we live in a world that's out of its mind. We live in a culture that's staggering so bad that we'll vote for anybody. We live in a culture that has to work 7 days a week and have just so they don't get any silence. I don't want any silence. Our world is so loud because it can't handle silence. Because if it gets silent just a moment, the pain begins to come up from within there. So I got to get rid of that pain somehow. And so they do whatever they got to do. And Solomon said, man, when I went down that road, I was vexated in my spirit. Now, I told you when Solomon wrote this book, it was about an experiment he did in pessimism. But he didn't write the book from that position. He writes the book from a position of optimism. And in verses 24 and 26, Solomon on a dime switches and gives you a conclusion. It's one of seven in the book. And the conclusion is so polar opposite of where he's been, it makes you want to shout, to God be the glory. Because Solomon goes in verse 24 and he says, there is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul, what class? Enjoy. Enjoy good in his labor. Now, how can you say that? Because you just said there's no joy in labor. You just said all of your labor is vanity. Look at verse 24. This also I saw that it was from the, what are those three words? Hand of God. So from verse chapter 1, verse 14 to right now, God's name is never mentioned. And Solomon is just like our world. God, help me preach this. They've come to the same point where they're vexated. And they've come to the same point now where they can't enjoy anything. So there's always got to be a change or something new or this. No silence. And Solomon steps over here and says, But man is supposed to enjoy life. Man is supposed to enjoy life. If you don't enjoy your life, it's your fault. Solomon says, it's so perplexing. Under the sun, there's no enjoyment. But there's supposed to be enjoyment from mankind. When God created man, God created man with a relationship with Him. God created man with plan and purpose. And sin came in and sin divided man from God. That's why God had to send the Lord Jesus. Sin has brought upon our earth this evil and this vexation. And sin has brought that gap in. And so now as a culture, we live under the weight of sin. But we were never designed to do that. Praise God, we can live now under the blood of Jesus Christ. And so the world says, I've got life, but I can't enjoy it. And God says, I gave you life, and you can enjoy it. And Solomon says, worlds are colliding on me, and I don't even know what to do. And so he says, wait just a minute, verse number 26. For God, what's that word? Giveth to a man that is good in his sight. Now watch this. Wisdom, knowledge, and what? Joy. Go, if you go back over there to verse number 17 of chapter 1, Solomon said, man, I went after wisdom. I went after madness. I went after folly. Verse number 10, he talks about the joy. Verse number 12, I went after wisdom, madness, and folly. And if you apart from God, there that's vexating. But God can give you wisdom. God can give you knowledge. And God can give you joy. Why would you want to live your life without God? And Solomon said, man, when I realized what that way had and what God had, he said, I wanted God to give me wisdom, knowledge, and joy. We serve a good God. Who's able to break into your mundane life and do great and wonderful things in your life. Who's able to reach down and to lift you out of the despair of sin and shame and put you on planes of light. Our God is so powerful, He can hear our prayer and He can answer our prayer. Our God is so powerful, He can set purpose and direction in your heart. Our God is so powerful, He can give you peace and life and joy. And you can search for all of those in those things that the world has to offer, but nobody satisfies like Jesus Christ. Solomon said, I went to the depth. I was great and I hated my life. But when I realized what God could do in my life,